All right. Good morning. It is Monday and it's already the 22nd of July. We are managing to make our way through most of winter fairly unscathed. And I hope you kept warm this weekend. It wasn't too bad. You know, during the day, it's actually really nice.
Yeah.
It's very nice. You just have to.
Very good with our winters, especially in Gauteng.
You have to wear layers.
I mean, the capes are a different scenario in winter.
All right. But we're not here to talk about the weather.
No.
Hell no. We have so much to get to today. Leanne has a list of the world's 10 highest protein cheeses. I know that that's what you come for.
Cheeses.
I know. The 10 most high protein cheeses. She's going to rank them for you. I know that's what everybody really wants.
Yeah, sure.
This morning. The big ratings machine is when Leanne brings out her list of 10 protein cheeses. So I can't wait. I mean, this to me is like the highlight of my whole year. And only happens every couple of months. So actually, I don't think it's ever happened. So.
No, not this
first time ever. Exclusive. Only on the Gareth Cliff Show. Okay, but before we get to that, you may have heard something very strange happened while we were talking to Dr. Hanan. There was this sound of like someone screaming about a vampire.
And swearing.
Yeah. And in a Yorkshire accent.
Mm.
So what it is.
Something northern.
It wasn't James. It was actually producer Flex who hit the play button by mistake while he was busy trying to arrange things on the screen for you. But it is.
So we literally had a mad person screaming in the background
exactly.
while we were
on. Actual crazy person while
Hanan.
The psychologist was on with us. But here it is. It comes from a clip that, I find these weird clips that just get served up to me. And I'm not even on TikTok, so I'm missing out on some proper crazy. But here is a clip of vampire slayers.
So they believe in vampires.
They believe in vampires in Yorkshire, in England. But this is just a man who sits down on he's just on a park bench. He's not a vampire, okay? And these crazy women run up and they assault him essentially. They take this poor man and they make his whole life a misery. Eventually he just goes, oh, that's enough. I'm calling police.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but here they are. Here are the Yorkshire vampire slayers. Now you'll understand what that noise was that you heard during Dr. Hanan, all right?
Vampire, vampire, fucking vampire! Walk into the bed, vampire, or I'll swear living shit out of you.
Vampire, vampire, you cheeky bastard vampire. You're for it, you are.
Not let out it.
Look at cross off, lads.
Send him a shovel.
Eat on your neck, pest, and get back to your own planet.
Oh, I'm phoning the police.
No, we got to get out of here. He's summoning bat armor.
Oh, Gary's bomber jacket's in bag. I can't leave it behind.
Leave it, Karen. It's not worth it.
This is his bastard.
I said, forget about it. Fucking hell.
Boy.
Deck him, vampire.
That is so much going on there.
Vampire, vampire, fucking vampire. Are you kidding? Do you think that's boring? I think that's one of the best clips I've ever seen.
That is very funny.
All right. So, I mean, there aren't really vampire slayers in Yorkshire. If there were, it would be hilarious. So that's what we've got there. I'm afraid, in case you were concerned, we'd lost it.
We just needed to serve, give receipts and prove that we're not mad.
I'll tell you what I am a little bit concerned by is the way, and this has been happening all my life, and I still haven't figured out how to get past it. You know, when people have had a baby, they talk in time in a different way to the way we talk about time. They always say, how old is your baby? And they go, it's 23 weeks. And you're like,
I don't know what that is.
I don't know what that means. Who operates in weeks?
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. Here's a clip to illustrate exactly the problem, and this is how you should respond to anyone who answers you in baby time, okay?
Oh, your baby is so cute.
Thanks.
How old?
34 weeks. Do you have the time?
It's 972 minutes past midnight.
Yeah. Right.
100%.
Right?
100%.
34 weeks. How old? Just say the baby is brand new. Newborn, just out of the womb, fresh from the oven, or say it's about to turn one. I don't care about anything in between. I really don't give a shit.
Turned one in June is even okay.
No one is that interested in your child. No one. Nobody. Not even your in-laws or your other relatives. They don't care.
They'd be more interested in your puppy.
Yes. And you don't go, my puppy's 34 weeks old.
Yeah.
You don't. You go, it's under a year. Under a year. Can't do anything yet.
The child's
not even 1 year old yet. It can't work yet. We'll talk about it when it gets to work.
And I mean, the counting starts way before it's born.
How old does a child have to be before you can put it to work?
Seven.
At least seven. That's quite reasonable. All right, here it is. I know you've been waiting all day for this. The top 10 high protein cheeses from Leanne Moll. I can't believe you think people are interested in this, but go. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
It was kind of like a quick filler piece that I thought could go towards the end.
Were you rummaging around in your kitchen last night? And you're like,
no, I mean, I've got much better stories than that.
No, I think this is the one.
Really?
Yes, go. You brought it up. Now you're going
to
deliver.
But you know what? To me, it's actually quite important. You know, we all like to eat high protein rather than carbs. Some of us.
Most of us. It's supposedly good. It's healthy for you.
It became a trend. Yeah. And it stuck around for most people. And you often wonder, I wonder how much protein is in this cheese.
No, I don't. But go on.
Do you not?
She's trying so hard to sell this to us. She's like those two people from IOL in that video I showed you earlier, trying to convince everybody they're really sorry about outing the Gulam account guy. And they're like, we really unreservedly apologize. Yeah, sure. We can tell you crooks. But look, there she is.
You would believe anything she said about cheese.
Okay, go. Let's hear about your cheese's crust.
Okay. So if you're going to look for a cheese to pop into your lunchbox every day.
Oh, just get to the list, for fuck's sake. Just get to the list.
All right, in 10th place, feta. We'll start there. We all know what it is. Just know it's in 10th place.
Hmm.
Something better than that, if you're wanting more protein, is mozzarella.
Right.
It's creamy and delicate.
Yeah.
With low moisture.
So far, I'm not convinced either of these are particularly good for oaks who want to, like, get into shape for a fitness competition, but go on.
Well, now you know, if an oak says to you, cheddar is the best, the best
you
protein.
I've tried to get buff. What's the right cheese?
Well, it's not cheddar because that's number 8.
Oh, no good.
What's better than cheddar is Gouda.
But only fractionally.
Fractionally? Yes. About we're 7 grams of protein.
This is so exciting. We're not even in the top 5.
Which is your favorite cheese?
Really, who cares? Carry on.
And then this is an American thing, although I've seen it in some stores. Here is Monterey Jack.
Don't know that.
Usually used on quesadillas, nachos, cheeseburgers.
Okay.
5th place, as the Americans would say, provolone, but it's Italian and provolone. It's provolone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Provolone.
Mozzarella. Provolone. Where was that from again?
No, I don't know, but it's revolting. Okay. Number 4.
That's my favorite cheese, by the way.
Okay, well, there we are. At least we got your favorite cheese out of this so far.
So I'm eating the 5th best in protein with
good
that
for
cheese.
You should be very proud.
Always one up are the Swiss. So Swiss cheese is in 4th place.
Okay.
That ideal for sandwiches and, of course, fondues.
Yes.
Although if you're going to have that much cheese at once, I don't think it's a good idea. No. So 3rd, 2nd, and 1st. Any cheeses that you can think of that I've left out?
Leanne, my experience of cheese, I think you've covered pretty much all the cheeses I've ever heard of in my life and more than I could ever have wanted.
Well, you're going to be sorry because you know this one. It's called Gruyere.
Estimate my knowledge of cheese as far too high, I'm afraid.
So you don't know this firm yellow cheese with a slightly sweet and nutty taste?
I've never heard of it, no.
Goodness me. Well, it's used for your French onion soups mainly.
There we are.
So that's a good protein dish to have a French onion soup.
Big French onion soup fan, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Second, I didn't know this one, Romano cheese.
No.
But I do know that it's hard and salty and has a strong flavor. That's 2nd best.
We are still talking about cheese, by the way. For anyone who's just joined us and thinks that they've found Pornhub instead of our show by mistake. Number one.
Oh, the best cheese you're going to eat if you're looking for high protein
is
Parmesan.
Oh my God.
Or like the Americans would say,
Parmesan.
Known for its rich, nutty flavor and sharp aroma. This is the stuff we put on spaghetti. If you want to load up that spaghetti with some protein, slap on the Parmesan. If you want to load up that risotto with protein, slap on the Parmesan.
Vampire, vampire, fucking vampire. I've had it with you. You're done for, you are.
I want to know how many bodybuilders are adding Parmesan to their lunches.
No, I mean, listen, if you are searching through the cheese category to find your protein, you really have been misled.
10 grams of protein for one serving.
No. I would like very much to welcome none other than the great and terrific and amazing and much missed on the show, Anthea Gardner.
Yeah.
Come in, grab a seat, Anthea. We don't stand on ceremony here.
It's not very formal. Is. You don't have to worry about
anything. No, it's not formal at all. How the hell are you?
I'm very good. How are
so
you
nice
guys?
Nice to see you. Yeah, it's very, very good. So, Anthea, first of all, congratulations on 10 years of Cartesian Capital. I got some very nice cupcakes from you as a birthday celebration and a bottle of wine.
Cupcakes.
Were you absolutely spellbound as I was by Leanne's cheese list?
Totally.
Yeah.
I could not believe that.
No.
Thanks for the support.
Sorry. You have no other contributions about cheese.
No, she covered it very well.
So for anybody who is new to the show, maybe Anthea has been our resident money expert for years. She's always been very, very helpful in giving us all the info that we needed. But she started a firm called Cartesian Capital back in 2014. And she is the fixed income and hedge fund manager, also overseeing the balanced funds and corporate cash management solutions. Am I right? Did I get that right?
Jargon, yes.
No, I like that. I like to get it right. Okay. She's also the author of a best-selling finance book called Make Your Money Work For You, which was recently converted into an audio book for those lazy people who can't read anymore. But that's good.
Most of the population these days, right?
Yeah,
nobody reads anymore.
No,
it's driving me
not.
Insane.
Here you were toiling over a hot stove trying to make a book. And now you have to read it anyway for them, like their children.
You have to read it for them. That's
yeah,
a good
like
way
their
of
children.
Putting an audiobook.
Please, Anthea, will you read the story to us? Yeah, all right, here's your audiobook. So how's it going? How are you?
So it's good. Very exciting. Cartesian turning 10 years is a big deal.
It is a big deal. Yeah.
And we also launched a hedge fund this year, and that's busy work.
Sure.
That takes a lot of effort. There's one thing, just, you know, buying and hoping that the stock or the bond yields what you want it to, but deciding to short or deciding when the market's coming off and trying to get it at the right time is quite something. Yeah. And then, of course, all this politics. Wow. Mm. That's kept us busy this year.
And the politics affects the economics.
Yeah, absolutely.
You taught us that a long time ago. And in America at the moment, who knows what's going to happen? The soap opera just continues to get weirder and weirder.
Well, I think Trump's a show-in. And the problem for us is that he's, let's call it re-inflationary. So he will cause inflation. And you know he doesn't like emerging markets, right? I don't need to repeat what he said.
Shithole countries.
There you go. Yeah. You repeated it for me. Thank you. Exactly. So
please,
it's
not
great
sensitive.
For us.
And in case you don't know,
oh, yes.
I'm not sensitive.
It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, let's just look at the macroeconomics for a second, because this is what you're also very good at helping us understand. You're saying he would be inflationary for us
Indeed.
Here in South Africa, yep. But for America, probably not.
No, he'd be great for America.
That's what he's promised. Make America great again. He doesn't give a shit about us.
Exactly. He'll be good for the dollar. So all his policies are very dollar strength based. Mm-hmm. So he wants a strong dollar, but it's not, I mean, for us, it's terrible, right? Because we're weaker rand and we're net importers of goods. And so for a stronger dollar, obviously, means a weaker rand. And a weaker rand means we're paying more for goods that we're importing. And so that's inflation.
So would you say that it would be prudent for South Africans to support Kamala instead? Is Kamala better for us?
Yeah, actually, probably.
Really?
Yeah, but her chances are grim. Hey? That doesn't look good for her. Last week on Bloomberg, there's a little screen where you can see what the chances are of each president, of each delegate
candidate
becoming president. But Trump's was 64. Kamala finally overtook Biden at 26%.
Oh.
That's her chances of becoming president.
Piss poor odds.
Yeah, I mean, look, anything can happen from now until November, first week of November, but I doubt it. I really do.
Hmm. Okay.
And we don't get to vote.
No, we don't. Yeah, we don't have a say. We don't, but here in South Africa, the GNU and the indications that the government is going to be doing things a little differently, these are surely good signs and have given
fantastic.
All those terrified people who people in politics refer to as the market, skittish people who are just terrified that their money is going to be stolen out from under them. Those people are a little more placated and happy with this government than they were with just an ANC government.
100%. Somebody told me the other day that they thought this was going to be a 5-year bull market for South Africa. I was like, I don't think so, but okay. So just to give you an idea, since the GNU was announced, the equity market's up 5%, the bond market's up 9%, and you've seen the rand, right? I know you follow the rand.
Yeah.
So it's gone from 19 and strengthened all the way to 18. Last I checked was 26, although it was kind of 1801, 1802 at one stage.
Yeah.
So that's great. And I think there's still a bit of nervousness, like nobody's sure what exactly is going to happen. And after the announcement, let me tell you, those foreigners were buying South African bonds left, right and center. I think it's difficult to find out or to find an 11% yield anywhere else in the world, which is what our government bonds are yielding. And so that's considered risk-free. So you definitely want to be buying risk-free at 11%. You don't know where else in the world you're going to get that. And I understand, of course, that if a U.S. investor takes his dollars, converts it to rands, buys South African government bonds, and then waits a bit, and then the rand weakens, you know, there's a purchasing power parity story where the weaker rand doesn't help him.
Yeah.
So he is a bit nervous about that.
What about the people we've got in charge of our economy? The finance minister, Enoch Godongwana, we don't mind him.
He's
been quite a steady hand.
Yeah, definitely a steady hand on the tiller. We like him, and we're delighted that he got reappointed.
And we also like the governor of the Reserve Bank.
So this is an interesting one because the governor of the Reserve Bank, his contract came up for renewal, I think it was May or March, can't remember exactly. And three of the deputy governors were going to come up for renewal later in the year. And all of them renewed their contract before elections. And I don't know if they renewed it because they didn't know what was going to happen in politics. And you know, the governors and deputy governors are appointed or serve at the pleasure of the president.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if they didn't know what was going to happen because there was a whole story about Kuben, you know, one of the deputy governors leaving and the president didn't want to approve his resignation, didn't want to accept his resignation. And he eventually couldn't wait anymore, so he just left.
They're almost behaving like hedge fund managers.
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Hedging their bets before the election. but we are happy with them in general, that the Reserve Bank also needs to be quite steady because, of course, there's the Monetary Policy Commission. They're the ones who determine interest rates. That's all quite important.
Correct. I think that's what you've got in the Reserve Bank now. Very smart people running the Reserve Bank. And I think independence is so crucial.
Mm.
That's kind of key. And I don't know if some of the other parties understand that. You know, they want to nationalize the Reserve Bank.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I think
but
that
those
would be
parties
disastrous.
Are not, they're not in the government anymore. So we don't have to. Well, they never have been.
Yeah.
Long may that remain the case because these are not people who understand economics. But for the average South African, Anthea, we are not exactly out of the woods. We are a country that's hugely in debt. We're a country of huge poverty. We're a country where people don't have a lot of disposable income. So it's tight. It's difficult out there.
Yeah. We're what you call in a stagflationary environment. And the three things that point to stagflation, high unemployment, low economic growth, and high inflation. And it's probably the most difficult economic situation to manage yourself out of. And we've had very high inflation. We've had, the interest rate went from, I must try and remember what it was, 3.75, the repo rate, to 8.75, right? And that's really hurting kind of your consumer because South Africans are very highly indebted. And if you're increase in your repayment is suddenly so high, you no longer have any discretionary money to spend. And that's a problem. So what we're hoping for at the moment, fingers crossed and all that, is that interest rates will
Since I got you. I didn't know. Okay, just in case.
Since last Thursday during the MPC meeting, that the reserve banks, central banks around the world will start cutting interest rates. Now, we have a 4.5% inflation target rate, and it's kind of the midpoint of the band of 3 to 6%. But our inflation is still 5.2%. So in my opinion, you can't, the central bank or the reserve bank can't cut interest rates until they get back to the inflation target. And the governor was talking about potentially lowering the inflation target because he understands inflation is very bad for the poor. Mm. So you think having high interest rates because you're indebted and your repayments are high, that that's terrible. But actually, it's even worse with inflation because you have to eat and you can't afford food. By the way, I discovered something last week, which I kind of knew, but wasn't 100% sure of the numbers. Half of South Africa lives below the upper bound poverty line. Half.
Yeah.
Of 60 million people.
That's very scary.
And 25% of those live below the bread line or they experience food poverty. Like they go to bed, 25% of our population goes to bed hungry every night.
Yes.
Anyway, so there I was talking about interest rates. So what we want is the interest rate to come down. We want the Reserve Bank to cut interest rates. And everybody's saying September, or up until last Thursday, the MPC meeting, everyone was saying September. But I'm now thinking November. And I'm afraid you're just going to have to fuss bait until then.
So all that finger crossing was for bugger all.
I crossed mine a long time ago.
When I started talking.
Yeah, I didn't have them crossed.
I believe you've started flying.
Yes.
What are you flying?
I'm flying a Cessna 172. Oh, loving it. I mean, I knew I'd like it. It's not a cheap sport.
Look at this.
I love it. I don't know what else to tell you.
It's
really early mornings.
Yeah.
No late night parties the night before. You can't do any of that nonsense anymore.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And have you and George Meany had a conversation about this yet? Because George also flies.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we haven't had a conversation.
All the cool people I know have decided to do pilot's licenses and things. So how far in are you? I mean, how many hours have you got?
So I've only got 14 hours and then I had to stop because
I literally just started.
In January and then in April, I had to ground myself because I hadn't written any exams, so I couldn't go solo. And I just wanted to fly. I was like, just let me fly. What do you mean I have to write exams?
If this woman, everybody take a screenshot. If this woman pitches up at an airport and just says, just give me the controls of the plane. Just give me a plane. Don't let her.
Especially if she's walking around like this.
I think my instructor walks around like that. Every time we get in the plane, he's like, we'll be fine, right?
So are you enjoying it?
Loving it. It's one of the best things I've ever done. I mean, you know I'm an adrenaline junkie. Like I scuba dive, I ski. But this is just off the charts.
Fantastic. God, I'm so excited for
you. Amazing.
Wow. All right. So there we've got a little update from Anthea. Not only on the economy and all the stuff that you need to know about your own wallet, but also about what she's up to and some very, very cool things going on. And for anybody who's interested in more, we'll try to bring her back when she isn't so busy flying in the early mornings or managing hedge funds and all kinds of other things. And it's really good to see you.
Thanks, Gareth. Thanks, Leanne. Really good to see you
congrats
guys.
Congrats on 10 years of Cartesian.
Thank you very much.
Very, very good. All right. There's Anthea Gardner, everybody. We got George Meany popping by to see us this morning because it's Monday. And you know what? It's always nice to see George. Every couple of weeks, he pops by and sees us and we get onto some fun things. And don't forget, if you see a vampire, what must you say?
Vampire, vampire.
Fucking vampire. And then hold up a mirror in front of him. It's great. So good. Okay, how about this? Here is probably the most disturbing clip I've ever seen.
Oh.
It's some cartoon. I don't know where it's from. Someone sent this to me on WhatsApp, so I don't even know. I can't credit anybody with it. But it is deeply distressing. It looks like it's in some sort of underground place. It's a cartoon.
Mm.
But the creatures are half cow, half human. And they're making Chick-fil-A sauce. Okay.
Oh.
It's very disturbing. You'll see how they make it.
Ooh. Okay.
Would you like Chick-fil-A sauce, sir?
What the fuck is this?
No Chick-fil-A sauce? Really?
It's our pleasure, sir. So, would you like a Chick-fil-A sauce?
I don't know what that is.
What the hell?
But I did think that if you weren't awake yet this Monday morning, that would do it.
Oh, my God. Were they wanking their teats? I couldn't figure it out. So, wait, the cow, but it was low and they were male.
I don't know, Leanne.
I don't know. And who's got such a grudge against Chick-fil-A sauce? I mean, I've never had it.
It's bad.
Beavis and butt-headed animals. Those would be them.
It's bad, right? I mean, it is a very disturbing clip.
Yeah.
So, you know what? In case you didn't know what the hell was going on, now you don't even know what the hell is going on. George, how are you, George?
Good and you.
Nice to see you. We always welcome you with a great clip.
That's a brilliant clip.
So you didn't get to talk about flying with them?
No, I didn't. We were quietly in the corner there.
Okay, well, I appreciate the fact that you two weren't chatting it up and embarrassing us and interrupting the show.
Exactly.
But you'll get to discuss that. Nice to see Anthea again. How have you been?
Very good.
Good. Always what's news? Good.
Been busy traveling around. I feel like I've hardly seen home. I've been in Cape Town for a while.
Okay. That's not good.
And this morning, I pushed snooze. I never push snooze. That snooze button just got me. It's 10 more minutes. Fine.
Yeah, you must never ever go. Listen, that is actually a danger. I only want the, I'm up now, stop ringing alarm bell.
It's hard making that decision, though, because I never know which is which.
Yeah, because you just
want
up.
To shut up.
Yeah,
but the stop button is small at the bottom of the phone.
Yes, on purpose. Noticed,
on purpose. Mm. And the snooze button is a big orange thing.
Yeah, exactly. Not right. I think that probably it's harder to wake up in winter, though, than it is in summer. In summer, you're like up and out of bed and you're ready to go. What I do like, and I know we don't like to talk about the weather too much, but it does come up. And that is what people say when they get into the office, like, ooh, brr, it's cold. And you're like, no shit, Sherlock. But I do think it's quite nice to get up and be like hit by cold air. And it's sort of, you don't have time to linger. You know, you kind of have to get going from that point on. There's no messing around like, ooh, I think I'll just stretch and yawn a bit. It's too cold. You got to get up and go.
Yeah.
That's what you have to
do. Can't put that head down back on that pillow.
Hell no.
Ooh.
And I see lots of cool things happening on the Auto Trader show. We actually played a bit of the Auto Trader podcast just now during the break, and you got to see what they're all talking about. How are we doing? I mean, Anthea just spoke about the economy, and you always tell us what's happening with car sales and used car sales, new car sales, because it's a very good barometer. Are we seeing any slight uptick?
So in the last couple of months up to end of June, there was a sharp decline in used car price increases, so used car price inflation.
Okay.
New car price inflation is holding water. So it's not the new car sales that are, or should I say, the prices of new cars that are falling. It's the prices of used cars that are falling.
Okay.
And it's a hangover from COVID, because during COVID, remember what happened to interest rates? Interest rates plummeted.
Yeah.
So people started to buy stuff, houses, cars, and that kept the prices up. And used car price inflation was anywhere between 7% and 9% over the last couple of years. It's almost an unsustainable bubble.
Of course it is, because those cars are also getting older.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No.
So that's now plummeted over the last couple of months, which means that two things. One, a consumer is unlikely to sell their car at the price that they could have sold it towards the end of last year. That's unlikely. So that causes the consumer to hold on to their car because I can't get what I was getting for the car.
And they're hoping what it will change. And maybe
things will change.
And you know how people are. It's like, okay, maybe next week.
It's not going to happen though.
One of my customers said to me, there was a 5 Series BMW that a consumer wanted to trade in for. The consumer wanted 730,000 Rand for the car.
Sure.
He, the dealer offered him 705 for the car. So he turned it down. 7 days later, he was back in the dealership asking, is the 705 still on the table? So that's one anecdotal example of what I'm talking about. The other effect, though, on the real economy of the automotive industry is dealers would have bought cars at higher prices pre the plummet of prices.
Now, they're also holding on to them, hoping they'll get more.
They're battling to sell them.
Yeah.
Which then puts pressure on their profitability. So I think there's a...
And you don't want as a car dealer to have a whole floor full of cars either. That's costing you money.
That's costing you money, exactly. Right. So I think there's a couple of months of this hurry up and wait scenario where car dealers and consumers have to trade out of this problem because used car prices are just not where they used to be.
Well, we're problem solvers on this show, George. And actually, Leanne has a graph to show us about the plateau of latent potential. And this may relate exactly to what you're saying here, because this is about people who are trying to achieve something, but they're just not getting there.
Yeah.
The plateau of latent potential. And how many of us are guilty of this? All of us.
It just makes so much sense, this. So this was sent to me by a family member who said to me, you know, how's your dad doing, et cetera, in hospital? And I said, it's just weird. You see these small improvements and then the next day is not so great.
Yeah.
All right. And that's obviously causing him some anxiety and depression and all the rest as well. So on your y-axis, you have results, and on your x-axis, you have time. And what we expect is that very linear arrow from the left corner all the way up, which is what you think should happen. So you think.
I mean, this is optimists. Pessimists, obviously, would go down.
No, of course.
But this is.
But that's pretty reasonable. You're not expecting amazing results. You're expecting okay results.
Yeah.
So you've set your mind at, you know, something that could actually work.
Sure.
And what actually happens is the curved arrow, and that's that it takes longer to get off the ground. You've got these smaller increments of improvement.
Yes.
And it's from this book called Atomic Habits, and he refers often to like atomic changes, so tiny little changes. But all of that doesn't go to waste. It all carries on working until all of a sudden, while you come out of that section called the Valley of Disappointment.
The thing is, most people give up in the Valley of Disappointment.
That's the thing. Yes. That's the thing. So the key is him saying, every day you make a marginal gain that gets you closer to the crossing the plateau of the latent potential. Then one day, ta-da, all better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's because we all suffer from the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yes, which is another useful thing to throw into conversation when you're talking to smart people, because Dunning-Kruger effect is essentially people who think they're smarter than they are.
Yes.
Mm.
It's a whole lot of dumb people, like in politics, for example, you know, low-hanging fruit, and these people are convinced that they're smart, and then their stupidity is never made apparent to them.
Mm. Mm. I think that Dunning-Kruger, like the Valley of Disappointment.
The Valley of Disappointment, yes.
is very contextual. So it depends on the context of what you're smart or not smart at. So you're not, I mean, some people are just very stupid generally, and some people are very smart generally.
Yeah.
But specific topics, you could suffer from the Dunning-Kruger effect in those silos.
I've encountered a lot of this, and sometimes I'm probably guilty of a lot of it.
So, I think we all are.
Yeah, and be aware, because then you can't be a victim of the Dunning-Kruger effect.
And then you're in the Valley of Disappointment squarely.
Definitely.
Right in
all,
there.
All your life. Imagine spending your whole life in the Valley of Disappointment.
Oh, my goodness.
Where do you live, well, if you Leanne? Give up. Number 23, Railway Cuttings, Valley of Disappointment.
I mean, if you do, if you give up, you're going to have to start again and you're going to be perpetually in the Valley of Disappointment. Yeah,
you just never get out of that.
You have to just build day by day.
I think like, there's a place in PE, it's actually called the Valley of Disappointment.
It is. Postcode 2192.
Oh, that's great. All right, very, very good. Tell us about, because I think George will be interested in this too, the world's cleanest pigs.
Oh, I love the story.
But we are using them.
Yeah, we're still going to use them.
Yes. I mean, they're not going to live happily ever after like the three little pigs in the nursery rhyme.
No. These pigs will be used.
Yes. In a horrible way, much like in that Chick-fil-A sauce video.
Not in a horrible way. They're being raised to grow kidneys and hearts for humans.
That's horrible.
Well,
do they?
Yes.
Do they use the pig's heart or do they put a human heart in the pig?
They use the pig's heart. However, it has been gene edited during the egg phase of their life.
I think George is asking, does the pig make it? And the answer is, I'm afraid not. Yeah. No,
the pig does not make it. But they edit the genes.
They edit the genes slightly before they have this animal to human transplantation. This could be happening as soon as next year. So they're now at the stage. Okay, firstly, let's talk about these pigs' environment. It is completely sterile. It is in a highly secure unit where you have to have layers upon layer of protective gear.
Right.
You have to step into tubs of disinfectant. There's no hay lying around.
I mean, the point being that you could not say you're as filthy as a pig.
No.
To these pigs.
These pigs have not seen dirt.
No. Such clean pigs.
I mean,
look at them, James. You see, you just do a little grooming. Just look.
That one looks a bit like James.
Just look, James. If you just tidy up, if you just brush your hair and you just shave, look at how good you could look.
Look at that one learning how to be a James.
Look at that. That pig could probably produce the show.
It looks like Smeagol.
Shots fired. So, yes, this is a completely pathogen-free facility. This is in the US, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
This is like...
If it was South Africa, that pig would be bacon already.
It would be. They wouldn't allow it to get that far, surely. Yeah. But apparently transplant surgeons who are actually receiving these organs from, it's called Revivacore Farm. They'll say things like, oh my God, that's the most beautiful kidney I've ever seen. Or, you know, what a pink, healthy, happy heart.
Yes, because of course we're all trying to look at each other's hearts and kidneys. Obviously
they're trying very hard to not allow any infection in there, which would be a problem when it comes to transplanting.
Carl DeSanta says, I want a pork chop from one of those clean pigs. Sounds lekker. That's a very South African response, right?
No tapeworm in there.
I want a lekker pork chop.
So this is actually called xenotransplantation.
Yes.
And where we are at with it now is that they are currently being transplanted into baboons, these hearts and kidneys.
Successfully.
Sure.
Successfully.
Wow. It just shows you how artificial hearts and artificial organs are nowhere near even an animal's anatomy.
Yeah.
Well, this is what's so interesting for me. My dad has just had a device implanted, which is the next best thing to a full transplant.
Yeah.
And it's working beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently in the Valley of Disappointment, which we should be getting out of soon.
Azalea says the Valley of Disappointment is where we should send James.
But most of these patients now do still go onto a transplant waiting list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see it on TV, someone in the hospital has to die basically at the same time that you need your new whatever for it to happen.
And be compatible.
But it's on the table.
Correct.
I mean, someone said to me, your father's in his 70s, no one's going to give him a transplant, but they actually do. But now this could happen so much faster.
Yeah.
And Leanne, how far off are we of like having human cow hybrids who can make Chick-fil-A sauce?
We're already there. So those were renders that you saw last time.
Oh, okay. So that could be real.
Those are going into the actual phase beyond design.
What I found most disturbing about that clip wasn't that there are human cow hybrids, and now you tell me that that's a real thing, like the island of Dr. Moreau, but it was the sounds they were making.
Mm.
Can we have a recap, James?
Yes, let's.
Here, just listen to the sounds that they're making when they're filling that cauldron with Chick-fil-A sauce. Just listen. Oh. All right, that's enough. All right, okay, that's enough. It's the...
It's absolutely terrible. I didn't know animation could be so gross.
Hey, you're the one who brought up transplants, so...
So all right, gross.
Take it away. Take it away. I can't watch that again. It's too disturbing. There are a bunch of people in the comments section who are going crazy for that too. Okay, somebody asked, they've done two pig to human transplants and they didn't last longer than 60 days before dying. No thanks. Well, Nikki, no one's offering you a heart or anything, so don't worry.
You're not on the list,
are
you?
You have to say no before we've even offered you anything.
And you know what? Some people will take those 60 days.
Yeah, thanks. Yo, talk about biting the hand that feeds you. You are spoilt, Nikki.
You with your
Nikki Brinkley
heart, your nice pink heart.
Yes, with your nice healthy heart. You'll take a pig heart if that's all there is. It's like these people who pitch up at a buffet and go, oh, no, it's not. I won't have anything on that buffet. Thank you.
I didn't order that. Yeah. That's not for me.
Buffet isn't for me.
Yeah. Bad Surgeon on Netflix. The guy tried to transplant 3D printed tracheas. None of his attempts works. Never trialed either.
Ooh,
well, I wonder if he's in jail.
Hopefully. But surely he had a massive team that was watching him doing that.
Yeah,
listen. Just do yourself a favor, and I'm sure George will back me on this. If you don't have to be in a hospital, don't be in a hospital.
Yeah.
Not a great place. Those super bugs and things they've got there. You remember we had that show with a doctor not so long ago.
Yeah.
Taught us all about this.
Yeah.
The worst, the most dangerous place is the hospital. You'd be better off with those pigs.
Yeah, that's for
seriously.
Sure.
I mean, there are pathogens 100%. In there.
Probably be better off in a proper pig pen.
Yeah, probably the dirty one. Oh my God. Does this mean that the pigs are halal, says Ashley Hussein. Ashley, no, halal has to do with an imam or a mullah coming in and saying some words. That's the same thing as when they make it kosher or if they go in nomine patris filius spiritus sancti over you at the church. It's all like it, magic words.
I don't know the answer to this, but is the difference between halal and kosher?
Yes, big time. One's for the Muslims, one's for the Jews.
But isn't the cooking process in the Jewish side?
They'll tell you there is, but it's magic words. Magic with abracadabra, bibbidi bobbidi boo.
I think you would obviously have to have, if it got to that, a kosher heart if you were looking for a transplant.
I don't think they would allow kosher pig heart.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. So I think it's kind of out for the Muslims and the Jews. In other words, I mean, maybe that's why Nikki just said straight up she's not interested in that pig heart. No thanks, as she said. No thanks. Maybe she's Jewish or Muslim. In which case, she can't have it.
From a funeral company the other day.
Yes.
It didn't warn me that it was spam. So I answered and she said,
did they sound depressed? Hello, I'm from the funeral company.
Have you thought about what's going to happen to you one day when you die?
Because imagine if they're sprightly and they call you from the funeral company. Hi, I'm calling you from the funeral company.
So now when you die.
No.
So no, she said to me, am I interested in funeral coverage? And I said to her, no, I'm not, thanks. And she said, why? Are you a Muslim?
Oh. Because they get buried like straight after, and often there's no ceremony, and there's not a coffin.
And then she slammed the phone down.
Yeah. It's like the next day.
Wow.
For the Muslims and the Jews, it's quick. It's like quick turnaround time. But you know, imagine that's your job. Wow.
Mm,
that's a tough job. Yeah. You got to sell funeral cover to people. Mm. Ugh, what depressing fucking work. Monday morning, how's your day going? Only three bought the coffins today.
I don't even know if these ads still run, but I can't get clientele life out of my head.
Oh,
from years and years ago when I was
a kid.
What is that one? On the morning shows.
I remember, and it was so depressing because you think, Like, people are starting their day and they're on in the morning to tell you that you've better make sure you've got funeral cover or else you'll just be thrown in a hole. It's very depressing.
Yeah. Was that one as well where there was a mom standing in front of the fridge in the kitchen and the little girl looked up and poof, the mom had disappeared.
That's horrible. Like,
it's really harsh.
Oh, you know? My God. I remember.
Like, I mean, I used to watch cartoons when I was younger.
Yes, exactly. Oh, we were hoping for cartoons. What we got was clientele life ads. I remember recording a thing with a friend of mine called Radio Funeral. We would just read obituaries, but try to sound as depressed as possible, right? So you'd go, hello, welcome to Radio Funeral. I'm here with my co-host, Harold. Harold, hello. Who's dead? Well, Denise, she was 58 and she had a heart attack and she's gone now, but she'll be buried at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And then there's Cyril. Cyril was 72 and he was a beloved father and husband, and you had to be as depressed as possible to read it. Brilliant. And then you'd have kind of interruptions of like ads selling toothpaste and shit. So
24% off.
Welcome to Radio Funeral. And if you haven't put in the code funeral, you could get 20% off on all of your purchases. Anyway, I don't think it would have ever really taken off.
No.
But a lot of old people read those things. Hey, listen, those obituaries are very important to old people. How else do they know if their friends are still around?
And religious people.
Do obituaries still exist?
Yeah.
They do it. I know that they do it. It's like a big part of the newspaper.
Still.
It's part of the only reason the newspaper still keeps going.
I haven't picked up a newspaper
in ages. Yeah. Obituaries, man. It's a big thing. And people lie in them. They say, oh, beloved father and loyal husband. Meanwhile, the guy was a cheater and a shit husband, shit wife, shit children. You know, like everything was bad. I don't think people are honest in obituaries. And they're never honest at funerals.
Yeah.
They always say such nice things. I'd love to go to a funeral where someone would say, yeah.
He was an asshole.
Well, no, even if they just went, eh, he was okay. He was all right.
Mm.
No great shakes. That's my speech. Imagine.
It doesn't happen.
See, yeah. You're even feeling awkward just sitting here.
Completely.
You're not even at the funeral.
I was just imagining.
And you two are
there.
Wearing black, so you could be. It would be hilarious. I mean, imagine if someone told the truth at a funeral.
I've seen people give obituaries that are, you can read between the lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And you can tell that they didn't like them.
You know.
I've been to some very awkward funerals.
He was okay. Dave was nice to his pets. But Dave did donate his kidneys. Cheers, Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're a brew.
I went to a funeral once where, how do I explain this? The person who had died.
What a great conversation. I love this. Carry on.
The man who had died had a former wife.
Yes.
And had two children with this former wife.
Yeah.
He cheated on this former wife.
Yeah.
In fact, had a long-term affair.
Yeah.
With another woman. So the person who arranged the funeral then was the new woman.
Yes.
And she had, the minister was so weird. He stood up and started telling stories about the man while his wife and former wife and two teenage kids were there. And said things like, blah, blah. Cheryl remembers fondly how she walked into her office one day to find John naked on her office table with nothing but a rose between his teeth. Like, what's
that's
going on?
And that was coming from the priest?
Yes.
Wow.
Jesus, that must have been a good funeral. Did you enjoy the experience of being in an uncomfortable funeral?
No, not at all. It was awful.
apparently, you can pay someone to come and shit talk at your funeral. It's a thing, says Azalea. That's amazing. Dave was a doist, but he had a good heart and kidneys, says Raven.
He had kidneys.
But it is awkward, like when you have the former wife and then the new wife.
Yes.
And who gets to talk? And if neither of them talk, what's the appropriate thing for either of them to say? And do they have to pretend to be friends on that day when they've spent like a lifetime hating each other's every fiber of their being?
No, it's horrible.
Wow.
And the two teenage daughters spoke at the funeral as well.
Sure.
Just after they'd heard that their dad was lying naked on the table.
Awkward.
XR says it's those annoying funeral ads on DSTV. Well, I'll tell you what, that is big business in this country.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that people are willing to spend an absolute fortune, awesome, and they will make sure that they cancel everything else, insurance on the house, insurance on the car, insurance on everything, but not insurance on the funeral. That won't be cancelled. They need that.
It's a religious thing.
Mm-hmm. What happened during COVID? We couldn't have funerals.
Yeah, of course. That was a disaster. Do you remember that?
I wonder what it did to that economy.
I wonder what it did to people psychologically. Mm. Can't even say goodbye. I mean, no one's really ever been held responsible in this country for all of that. They're having commissions and investigations in other parts of the world. But I don't know that anyone in this country was really ever hauled over the coals for it. And I think about all those people whose gran was in hospital and they couldn't go and see her. And then she died in hospital and then they couldn't bury her.
Happened
and
I'm like, to my dad.
Yeah, dude, exactly. And you have every right to still be cross if you are.
Yeah.
You know? Because it was bullshit.
Yeah. We saw him the last time and then 10 days later, he passed away. And we didn't see him.
And imagine him for those 10 days.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Right? That's the worst part.
Yeah.
So you're thinking this poor guy, he's like, do my family not like me?
We video called him, but that's as much as we could do.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the sister in the hospital was very good. She would, you know, take the phone to him on a regular basis to do video calls.
Mm. It's just so dumb though, because all of it was made up. Yeah. She's totally made up. Anyway, did you do anything fun over the weekend, George? Because we are starting a brand new week and you always take work very seriously, but I know that you do lots of fun things. You fly these.
I'm actually, this is going to sound odd. I'm actually getting a little bit bored of flying. I've been doing it since 2007. Yeah. The bug isn't there anymore.
What's next, George? Formula One cars?
I was thinking of
going to space,
track racing. Something in the line of the industry I work in.
So do you also like Anthea, you need an adrenaline rush?
Yeah.
Really?
Scuba diving. I've done scuba diving in my life. I've bungee jumped, bridge swung.
Leanne's done swinging, but not from a bridge.
I've left my car with the keys in it once at the Jolly, but that was about it.
Adrenaline stuff gets my juices flying. So, I don't know, I was thinking of getting back into scuba diving. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just, you know, as your career progresses, you it's a stupid excuse, but you run out of time.
It consumes you.
No, sure. Yeah. That's why I ask, but what do you even get to do over the weekend? Because I know that you are one of those people who's pretty busy, and so weekends don't necessarily mean you stop working. And there are so many people who do that. I don't really have a hard stop or start on the weekend. I mean, for me, it's like if your phone rings, you have to deal with something, right? I was on a call last night while I was in bed, and I don't hate it. If you enjoy what you're doing and you're talking about stuff that you really are interested
it's
in
not work.
Solving problems or whatever else. No, it doesn't feel like work. It's actually quite cool. But then, you know, the next morning you feel it. That's the only problem. Hey, did you see Gaetan McKenzie over the weekend?
I shudder to think. What has he done?
He ran a 5K marathon.
Oh.
Now, let me tell
you. Are they called marathons?
Well,
5Ks?
Screw you. I did 3Ks and almost died.
Mine was called a chicken run for Nando's, so I don't know what yours
are. I did 3Ks and almost died. I mean, for Gaetan to have done that, and he is overweight, he acknowledges that. I think that's pretty damn good. I'm really impressed with this guy. He's not just saying things. He's doing things. You know, you can say a lot. You can say, oh, we're going to get South Africans fit and I'm going to make a difference as Minister of Sport. I don't think we've ever had a Minister of Sport who could even run to the fridge.
He's going to be out of the Valley of Disappointment very quickly.
He's out of the Valley of Disappointment. I don't think he's even been in it. It's amazing. George, take a drive through Brakpan. That will press the adrenaline button, says Nico.
Wow.
Has it got that bad, Nico?
Wow.
Me.
Yeah. I mean, there are more dangerous places, but certainly it's fun. I heard about a place called Monkey Town.
Where have I seen that before?
Monkey Town.
Yes, where they actually have somewhere in the Eastern Cape.
Oh, it's near Gordon's Bay.
No.
Yes.
No, this is in the Eastern Cape. And it's not a place with monkeys that live in cages.
Oh.
No, it's humans.
No.
Yes. But really, like in that Chick-fil-A sauce video.
No.
Mm.
Do those places still exist? You mean an institution?
And apparently you can hire a game drive vehicle and you can sit.
No, man. You're kidding. No, that's making you dreamt it.
I did dream it.
That
mean,
was your hell of a fantasy story. Dream.
Imagine driving through like some neighborhood where the people are very inbred. You got your binoculars and your biltong snacks.
Well, we do that in front of the TV, don't we?
And you drive in one of those game drive vehicles with the stepped seats.
Oh, look,
it has a child.
Shame. We do that with actual animals.
Sounds like zombie apocalypse.
I think it would be very, very funny. A marathon is 42 kilometers.
Yes.
You donut, says Carl. Oh, please.
Oh, Monkey Town near Gordon's Bay is closed down.
Oh, well, what have they done with all the monkeys?
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Sanele says, that's right, Gareth. Gronde Belfort, couldn't even walk. Don't even get me started in Balula. He can't even run a bath. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, small victories, guys. Let's take it, right? You know, little things that we see improving. That valley of disappointment.
Atomic changes.
We're slowly coming out of the valley of disappointment. Don't pull me back in there, okay?
Just keep going.
I'm feeling very good about this.
Your small actions are being stored, not wasted.
I wonder if the line's not more squiggly than curved.
And let's start a game drive thing through neighborhoods where people are very inbred.
Sure.
Just saying, it could be another tourist attraction.
Big boost to your morale.
Come on.
Breakman.
If you're feeling down, you go and take a look around some other part of town that you're not very nice, and you suddenly go, I'm lucky.
But
I'm
that's, just going to shut we up. We do that. We watch American reality TV.
That's true. That's true. And you don't have to actually get in the game drive vehicle.
No.
And you wouldn't go early in the morning because homeless people and drunks, they're not up at that time.
No.
It's not good viewing. It's like you go in the Kruger Park when the animals are awake.
Or certain seasons.
You don't go while they're sleeping. And really, for like passed out drunks and homeless people, that's pretty much all day that they passed out, right?
Ready?
What's the best time to see them? At night?
Yeah.
Dusk and dawn.
I think it's dusk.
Dusk and dawn. Yeah. They're crepuscular. That's the word.
Crepuscular.
Yeah. Crepuscular
I've
is a word.
I've never heard that in my life.
It's a good word for people who are up at dusk and dawn, like those people.
Crepuscular.
Wow. Has this been an amazing show? We've learned a lot. Isn't that great? Gayton was at the Ballet and Dance Expo on Saturday evening. Chose ballet over the Springbok versus Portugal game. Refreshing to see him interested in all arts, sports, and cultural events. Well, Chantel, that's nice to know. Thanks for letting us know.
You know, they could have swung the other way, though. Could have been like, well, he wasn't at a major rugby game. He was, you know, where was he?
Leanne, again, you're in the valley of disappointment. Okay.
Get I want
myself you. Out.
Just, Stop. Fucking
it.
Hell, Cheryl. All right, let's get out of here. Vampire, fucking vampire. Thank you so much, George. Always lovely to see you. I hope that this wasn't a waste of your time to look at that clip of those Chick-fil-A sauce. Three times. Leanne, thank you very much, especially for your list of cheeses.
Thank you.
I mean, oh.
Hashtag blessed.
So important that we got through that. And I will see you on Wednesday morning, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Brrr. I'll see you there.
Vampire, fucking vampire. Walking to the minute, vampire, and I'll swear living shit out of you.
Vampire, you cheeky bastard vampire. You're for it, you are.
Not me, all right.
Look at cross off, lads.
Send him the shovel.
Eat on your neck, pest, and get back to your own planet.
Oh, I'm phoning the police.
No, we've got to get out of here. He's summoning bat armor. Oh, Gary's bomber jacket's in the bag. I can't leave it behind.
Leave it, Karen. It's not worth it.
This is his bestie.
I said, forget about it. Fucking hell.
Oi.
Dad,